We're going to continue from yesterday. We're starting at the top of Nun Hei Amud Aleph, but just to remind ourselves, we have the Gemara is trying to determine whether Eretz Amim is Mishum Avira Gazru Bahu or Mishum Gusha Gazru Bahu. Is it a din in Tuma that is generated by any contact with the airspace of Eretz Amim, or is it a contact or being Mahil Al the Gush on the hard ground or the actual ground of Chutz Laretz? So we'll start here now this morning. Gemara says, and then here you have at the top. So this is a Gemara we've seen previously, an idea that we've seen previously, which is now if we have two tzadim, which is Eretz Amim Mishum Aviro, or is Eretz Amim Mishum Gusha, Lema Kitznai. Let's say this is a Machlokes Tanaim. Anichas the Eretz Ha'amim B'sheda Teva Mishida Teva Migdal. So this is the classic case of entering without touching the ground, or without being ma'ahil out of the ground. So you come in with your Sheda, Tiva, and Migdal. Rebbe is Mitameh, and Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda is Mitaher. So here would be maybe a classic machlokas between them about what the issue is. My lab, what do we want to say? Rebbe Sover Mishum Aviru. Rebbe holds that it's a din in Tumas Avir. What does that mean, Tumas Avir? So that we said again, discussed based on the Mefarish or in Tosos. Tosos believes that means Tumas Avir means that you can become Tamei, the Tumas Ohel, even though you're protected by an Ohel. And that Tumas Avir would mean that you are exposed to Tuma despite the fact that you aren't being Ma'ahil on the ground. Or, according to the Mefarish, it's just that Avira means that if you're in the airspace, you are Tamei.
Isn't that what
Tosfos is saying? No, Tosfos is saying that we don't look at other Hafsakot or other things mean that really it's too much Ohel plus.
And the Mefarish is saying there could be a Hafsaka?
They have the same din. But they have, they're viewing the din differently. Tosfos premises his whole din on too much Ohel. That regular Gusha is a Tuma and too much Ohel. And then Avira means we ignore some of the premises of Tumas Ohel, and we say that even when you have another Ohel protecting you, you're still exposed. The Mefarish says, no. Gusha is, he learns in terms of Chumra and Kula. Tumas Gusha means that it's a Tuma that is a regular form or Tuma that we've seen in other places, and therefore it'll take all stringencies of Tuma. Whereas Tumas Avira means it's a Tuma we haven't seen in other places, and since we haven't seen it, it'll have Kulas. Tosfos is also saying in a similar manner that you have that because it's exceptional Tuma. But how he formulates it, as being Tuma Soal versus Tuma Soal minus some of the protections that you have in Tuma Soal. Now the difference might be between them, which is actually whether you be in this Sheda Teva Migdal, you need an opening to become Tameh. And that, according to Tosfos, right, even though, you know, what do you need to come into contact with Avir Chutz Laretz in order to become Tamei, or does your being in the Sheda Teva Migdal by definition bring you into Avirat Chutz Laretz? Right, so that might be a Nakumina. If you let's see if this is a, let's see where it says it exactly. I saw somebody who said this. I apologize. Let me look quickly. Yeah, the Mefarish here at the top, and the name and Aleph says, "Mela the Rebbe Sever Mishum Avira Gazul Levi Ilu Haka came the Nichas Bavir Milamalek Shehin Tuchin Uderach Ptachim Abitarei Shan Ari Nichas Bavir Et Amin." So you see, the Mefarish really literally needs you to come into contact with Avir Chutz Laretz. So he says, even if you go in a Sheid the Teva Migdal, you need an opening in the Sheid the Migdal Teva, or some sort of doorway that allows the Avir Chutz Laretz to come into contact with you.
So it's not your space, it's the air.
Right, literally, right. Whereas Tosfos will be more about, okay, if you come in a Sheid the Teva Migdal, then it's ignoring some of the things, rules of Ohel, which means if you're in an Ohel, you're protected, and therefore now you're exposed, even though there's no Ptachim or nothing, no coming into contact with air.
That's airspace.
Right.
That's really more airspace.
Right, so that's a good way to formulate it, right? Airspace according to Tosfos, whereas air according, or actual contact with the Avir, according to the Mefarish. Alright? So now they might suggest that maybe this is the machlokas between them, that Rebbe holds that it's a din in Avira, and therefore you're Tameh when you go in a Sheda Teva Migdal. Which if you use it, it says Mishum Gusha, and therefore, when you go in a Sheda Teva Migdal, that you're protected. Someone says, well, the kuli alma mishum gusha. Everybody agrees that the tumah here is a tumas ha'aretz or tumas ha'gush. So now, what's the problem? What's the machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi? I'm going to read it the simplest way. I'll read it according to the Meforish. Then afterwards, I'll read it according to the way the Rosh reads it and another second day in Tosfos. All right. Everybody believes that it's a mitumas amim is because of gush, because of the ground. Mar sever o zorok shmei ohel, mar sever lo shmei ohel. Has to do with a moving ohel. Right here, you have a shade of teva and migdal. How's he getting into eretz amim and shade of migdal teva? It's moving. Yeah, something that's in motion. So the question is a ohel in motion an ohel or not? I mean, does an ohel need to be stationary to be considered an ohel, or even an ohel in motion is considered an ohel?
So the assumption is that it moves through the eretz amim and never comes to a stop?
Right. I mean, the question of how that happens is a quick question. Either it's gamo parech ba'avir, it's an airplane, you know, it's a helicopter, or it might be that say it's riding on the back of a wagon or something like that. It's riding on the back of a wagon, so you're moving. You're in an ohel, you're in an encapsulated area, but it's moving the whole time.
It's a wagon itself. It can be a structure that...
Right, yeah, like a couple of wagons.
That's right, I was saying, that it moves there and doesn't stop.
Right. That doesn't have to stop. No, the stopping's not the issue, because as long as it's in motion, it's not an olam, it's not protecting you. Right. As soon as it stops, it becomes an olam, protects you. So all you have to be is at some point in time when you're in eretz amim, you're in motion, because then it makes it not an olam. It's not an olam, you became tamei already. When you stop, right, it's the other way around. The motion is a detraction, right, not an addition. All right, so that's... So Rabbi Yossi... Rabbi Yehuda will hold that an ohel that is in motion is still considered an ohel, and that's why you are tahor. But Rabbi Kiva is going to hold that an ohel in motion is not an ohel, and therefore you are tamei. Now the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi, sorry. Thank you, Rabbi. So now, Vahatanya, the Gemara is going to challenge. This Vahatanya here is a challenge. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Tein Vashim Lea Kelim. You have a box full of Kelim, Vizarkal Pamis. And you threw it across, kever, or across a mace that was laying there, ba'olel, tmeah, it's tmeah. V'im ha'ita munechet, if it was stationary, then it's tahor. So that seems to be that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a ohel in motion is not considered an ohel. So here where you jettisoned some sort of box or some sort of ohel full of kelim across the face of a mace, right, it becomes tmeah. Sounds like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda means a ohel motion is Tameh. And we just said that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's position is that an olam motion is going to be good, and that's why he's mitaher in eretz amim. So how could it be that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's position is ol zaruk is shmei ho'el, if we have a brace that explicitly says that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda thinks that an ol zaruk or an olam motion is not an ohel. So there, Ella and the Gemara will have to consider like kula alma mishum avira. Now the Gemara is going to give another alternative. That's the simplest way to read the Gemara. The Rosh and the Tosfos actually read the Gemara differently, and they read that there's a difference in what's called different types of ohels in motion. Right? Ohel in motion, we just assume so far that anything that's in movement or in motion is either an ohel or it's not an ohel. I mean, that there's no gradations or differentiations in ohelot that are in motion. And that's where the Tosfos and the Rosh over here explain that maybe there is a difference. So, for instance, there's a Mishnah, the Mishnayos and Olos discuss something like a talus. Somebody's talus got caught by the wind, right? And then it was flying along, you know, being blown away by the Minachefet, flying along with the wind, and it creates an ohel over a person and a mace. So over there, the Mishnah and Olos clearly says it's Lav Shmei Ohel. That's not considered an ohel because that's not a stationary ohel, that's an ohel in motion. But there might be a different type of ohel in motion, which is considered an ohel, and that's an ohel that has grounding, where you have, quote-unquote, your feet on the ground. All right. If there are feet on the ground, if a person is carrying an ohel on his back, or a behemoth is carrying an ohel on their back,
then that might be... wheels.
Right. Maybe wheels. Right. Maybe something... wheels may not work. We'll see that in a second. Right. But it's something that can be attached to...
That was the case that we had in there, I think.
So you have, so the question, so here the Tosfos suggests...
So the question is whether it's considered a kli itself.
All right, I mean here it's, we'll just get through this, we'll go back to wheels. I just think the Tosfos premises his thing on his ability to be carried, which is his. Now if you look, I'll read it to you in the Tosfos, Perish Acher. It's next to the Rush in our Gemaras. It says right across from where it says Perish of Rush in the Gemaras, and the Tosfos says Perish Akha. It's the narrow parts of the Tosfos. It says Perish Akha. It's the first words on the line in the Tosfos Perish Akha. Should be ready. You see it? All right, you get it. Oh, here, Perish Akha. You have it? You got it? Okay, good. Perish Akha. Lo, the Chuli Ami Mishim Gusha, right? Mar Sabar, O Zaruk, Shinichnas Besheda, right? Shebehema, O Adam Molichim Oto. Shmei Ohel Lachutz Udahasik. That something that has been carried by a human or an animal is considered a good Ohel. Tzarech Lomar Dadif Mitalit Haminefet Minaf Nefet. It's better than a floating talus. It's not a second Olot. The Ein Chotzim Bifnei Atuma Bein Mei Bein. Doesn't work as an Ohel. Behind Utaima Dehocha Adif Mishum Deraglei HaAdam Oa Behema Nosim HaShedem HaTeva Nogim Ba'aretz. They are touching the ground. About talit hamnefet nefet beavir, Marsever says, but it floats in the ground. So, if according to that explanation, then wheels right, would work the same way. I mean, as long as there's some sort of anchoring of the sheda teva migdal to the ground, somehow it's attached to the ground, then it will be considered a qualified ol. Whereas if it's floating or it doesn't touch the ground at all, then that is not considered a good ol.
Well, and then is like faladamos. Yeah, so one could start saying, okay, well, a person would be good, but maybe not.
Right. Tosfos just has a requirement that there's some sort of connection to the ground. Again, I think you could argue that behemoth and Adam are different than wheels or something like that, because there they are objects, people who have function that move things along. That's what they do. They move along things. Whereas if you have another kli that's moving a kli, maybe that won't be the case. I mean, Adam and behemoth might have unusual status. Although the way Tosfos formulates it, that it's touching the ground, that would mean anything that's touching the ground. Now, what does this do for you? This changes the Hatanya, the next Hatanya. We brought a Brisa that questioned Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's position. Over here, now the way Tosfos is learning is, Rabbi says, it's Tameh. Why? Because even when you are being carried by the Hamar and Adam, that's an Ohel in motion, and that's an Ohel in motion is no good. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that an Ohel in motion, when it's being carried by a person or a behemah, is a good ohel, and therefore you are tahar. So now, what do you say, Behatanya? The Gemara brings down a brisa which says that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda holds what? That an ohel that is in motion is not a good ohel. So Tosfos says that Behatanya here is not a the question, but the nichusa. The advantage of making this Behatanya nichusa is that the Gemara is going to do another case and bring a Behatanya, and they're all nichusa. So the way we learned it at first was about Tanya as a question on the position of Rabbi Yossi, where he was doing the Gemara to come up with an alternative. Right? Whereas Tosfos says here, no. Tanya means it's a support of the position of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Why is it a support of his position? What's the case in the Brisa? The case in the Brisa is you have a box of kelim, and you jettison them across a mace. So are they touching the ground? Is there anything that's firmly placing them on the ground? The answer is no. So that's exactly what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is saying. There are two types of OLs in motion. There's an OL in motion which is like the floating talus, and there's an OL in motion which is anchored to the ground. So an OL in motion that is a floating talus, or the box that you jettison across, those are not lo shmei OL. Those are not good OLOs, right? Whereas if you have a OL that's moving but secure or touching the ground, that is a good OL. And that will explain the difference in Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's position in over here, where he says a moving OL is a good OL, and his position in the Brisa or from OLOs, right, which is that an OL motion that's not anchored to the ground is not a good OL. That's where the Tosfos and the Rosh learned this again.
Then they change the gears.
No, right.
Baisema.
Yeah, you have to say Baisema, or you have to say Lo, the Kuleyama. You have to say that the Gemara is... It doesn't have to be what you said before.
Yeah,
but yeah. Right. The others here say a tiny Bichus, and then they say Baisema. Haki Garcina, and you see in the Rosh. If you look in the Rosh, it says Haki Garcina, Baisema. Another possibility, all right? So now the Gemara says, the Kuleyama, back in the Gemara, Mishum Avira. Right, it's from airspace. So now let's set up. Now either, according to the Mefarish, this is a response to the fact that we failed to set up the Machlokas before, or according to the Tosfos and the Rosh, it's an other alternative. Shemarir Marsav came into Lo Shechicha Lo Gazru Bei Rabbanan. Avira is this crazy case where you're not going to come into a case of Gush, you're in the Sheva Teva Migdal, you're excluded from Avir. I mean, according to the Mefarish, it's an even stranger case, which is that you're in a Shein HaTeva Migdal, but it has air holes, and you get some space through it. That's an unusual case. So that's what Rebbe says. It's not, right? It's mitamei because the chamim were gozer, even in the face of such a strange case. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, chamim were only gozer when it's a normal sort of case. But these unusual cases, they were not gozer. So, these cases of Shedativa Migdal, right, whether they are, that is, how unusual is this case? And based on the infrequency of the case, is a question that the Gezeres Chachamim apply to it or not. Mar says, Atanya, and this again is Atanya ben Yichusa that supports this, and Yichna Seres Yamim Shedativa Migdal, Tahor. Right, then he is Tahor. Bikron Ubisvina Ubiskaria Tamei. So if he goes in with the Sheda Teva Migdal, then he is Tahor. So whose opinion is that? That opinion is Rabbi Yossi be Rabbi Yehuda. And yet he says that if you go in a wagon, or a Svina, or in a boat, or a Viscarium, or some sort of large boat. It's a large boat. The Viscarium refers to the mast, the large mast of a boat. And it's interesting, the Mufari says it's Hainu Toren. It is the large mast or the central pole of the boat, the kari post the laz. So I don't know if that's the real word in laz, but it's called a post, but it's a central, but it's a big boat. But what do you see from this? Kameh. So if Rabbi Yossi reviews the opinion, Sheda Migdal and Teva, you can be Tahor. Yet, he still says that when you go in a wagon or a boat, you are Tameh. Why is that? So that can be explained by our position here, whether it's Shkiach or Lo Shkiach. Meaning that when it's low shkiach, low gazru bei rabbanan. That's what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says. But a krone or a spina or a skaria are shkiach. And since they are shkiach, they were gozer tuma sa'avir. And even Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda believes that they will be tuma.
So the hatanya is ben yichusa.
Yeah, again, that's why the maila of the position of Tosus before is that all the hatanyas here are going to be in yichusa. According to the first hatanya was a question. And this hatanya is a ben yichusa. Right, Gemara is going to do one more. Vibai Seima Haka. Right, that the problem over here is. So now we're going back. Gemara says everybody holds Mikum Shum Gusha. Everybody holds that an Ol Zarak is Shmei Ohel. That a moving Ol and Mol in motion is a good Ohel. And the issue here is what Haka Shema Yotzi Yerosho Beruba the Sham Plige. Right, the question is he going to stick his head and his body, robe of his body out? Ratanya, and again, Atanya, Brisa ben Yichusa, Yossi bar Yehuda Omer, Nichnas Le'er Ta'amin B'Shei Tateva Migdal Tahor. He is Tahor Ad Shiotzi L'Sham Rosho Rubo. Until what? Until he sticks, he actually takes his head and his body out. Right? Or his head or his body out. But you see from that was the issue that they were dealing with. And Rabbi, who's Mitameh, says, we're not going to wait for you to do that. We're going to be goes there. Maybe you will stick your head out, or maybe take your body out. And therefore you'll be Tameh up front.
Because typically people can't stand being in a Sheda Teva Migdal for any extended amount of time.
Right, so it would be a logical gezeira to make that his Rosho Viruba will come out. And again, that would be a problem of Tumas Ol. Now, what do we do with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, right, about above we had the position of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is what? That a Ol Zarok, right, is Lo Shmei Ohel, according to the Mefarish. Because when you jettisoned the box across the face of the mace, that was Tameh. And over here, in this example, we see everybody holds that a moving Ohel is, right, not an Ohel. So how do you reconcile between, right, I mean that the Gemara before the Mefarish says, ask a question, challenged from the Brisa of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, that when you jettison the Kalim across the mace, that is Tameh. And yet, when you're an Eretz Amim, that was Tahor. So the Gemara, according to the Mefarish, rejected that whole shot. Now, all of a sudden, the Gemara is back to that. Okay, Ibai Zema, that is Sheda Teva Migdal, is a good Ohel. And the whole problem is that maybe you'll stick your Rosh Rubat, or you do stick your Rosh Rubat. Well, if that's the case, the Gemara is faced with the problem of what does he do with that Brisa when you jettison the Kalim across? Why is that not Shmei Ohel over there? So if you, the Gemara says over here, the Had the Tani Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda L, Zarok Teva.
He says
it's Tameh. So that's not an Ohel then. The box that you're throwing across. Protective sense. Right. So then Tosu says that Tani above was in Yichusa. And basically it works. That a Noel emotion works as long as it's grounded somehow. And so therefore you can always differentiate between the cases and say that when we say the Ibaisim here, the problem with the Farsh is that since that price is a challenge to our position that a moving oil, an oil motion is a good oil, then what are we going to do now? The Gemara came back circular to that and said in the end, everybody holds that a moving oil is a good oil. Everybody holds it's Mishum Gusha. Whole problem is, are you going to stick your head out or not? Are we worried you're going to stick your head out or not? So then what do we do for Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda in the price according to this Farsh? And the Farsh says over here, by the time Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Zorak Teba Malaya Kilim, Opne Amis, Tmeya, La Mishum Tuxavar, Ol Zorak Lav Shmei Ohel. Not because he thinks that an Ol emotion is not an Ol, given the Zorka, Kamathik La Mitoris Ohel, Mashavit La Toris Kli. It's very interesting. Lumbus, right, from the Mepharish, that what? That he's taking it, by the fact that he jettisoned it, or threw it, it redefines what its function is. And if he wanted to be an ohel, it would be stationary. The fact that he throws it is that he's now changing the status from being an ohel to being a kli. Because when you throw it, when you throw something, we're going to say that you're anan sadeh, that you're making it into a kli and not into an ohel. So therefore, it won't function as an ohel.
Zaruk, then it's lashing ohel. But right. It's ba'avir.
Right. If it's in motion, then right, it's not. So it will then depend.
If it is, then it is an ohel.
Right.
If it's just stand in motion, then it is an ohel.
An ohel, right. If it's zaruk, then you've been mafkia mishem ohel and made it into a kli. It's very interesting. Lumbus, which in the end almost brings the Mepharish back to Tosfos' position somewhat, which is that the difference between an ohel is being, like you just mentioned, whether in motion versus being jettisoned, right? That's in the end what Tosfos said. Tosfos says something that's being carried, right, is, or grounded, is considered an ohel, and something that is in the avir is not considered an ohel. And basically the Mepharish, in his own way, comes back, or somewhat circles around, back to that concept. All right. Now the next Gemara. Matchil umonin. Amar Rav Chista. So what's matchil umonin miyad? Right. So now the Gemara could say Amar Rav Chista shna ela mizirut mu'etit. Aval mizirut meruba msalek nami salkinim lay. So we said above that. What is Rav Chista talking about? Rav Chista is talking about mitzora. We said that the days of mitzora are not olden lo, but they're also not soter lo. That a mitzora mukhlat that was locked up because he was a mitzora and he's waiting to become tahor. We said that those days that he's in his yemei chaluto are not oker his nizirut, but they also do not count towards his nizirut. Now Rav Chista comes and qualifies that statement. It says no. The only time they don't quote qualify or count towards his nizirut if you have a nizirut mu'etet. Right? Our definition throughout until this point in Masechta is that a nizir mu'etet is less than 30 days, or 30 days or less, right? So if you have 30 days or less, we need you to have a 30-day minimum nizirut. And therefore, when you have your mei chaluto, you have to wait and then complete your nizirut afterwards. Whereas if you have a nizirut meruba, which is more than 30 days, right, then since you can make 30 days of nizirut, even excluding the mei chaluto, then we assume that the mei chaluto will help you out. Mislech na misalkinle. Now, meiti Rav Shravya. So what's the case here that you're allowed to count right away and it's not mevatel the kodmin? But my, what's the case? If it's in zero mu'etet, kabai gidul se'ar. You need gidul se'ar. So if you believe, what's the case in our Mishnah that's talking about a case where it's not mevatel the kodmin, but it's also what? It requires you to count forward and make up the nizirut. See, if you're talking about a nizirut mu'etet, only a 30-day nizirut, the answer is no. We are mevatel the kodmin, because in the end, as soon as when you finish with your taglachas hametzorah, you need 30 days of gidul se'ar. So in the end, you are soaked there, the Rishonim, and you have to recount 30 days just to get your gidul se'ar in. If that's the case, you can't say that it's ena mevatel at the kodmin, because in the end it is.
The distinction between 30 days just to give it the gidul se'ar and an actual extension of the...
Right, it is it's a technicality, but in the end, it's functionally, it is so there the nizirut, right? It's technically, you have not been soaked in the nizirut, and you have to just deal with gidul se'ar. But in the end, functionally, it becomes what? That you are...
Yes, you're not out of the status of the nizirut.
Right, so you are so there that could mean. So what must it be? Ella, what's the case? La nizirut meruba. Case in our Mishnah is nizirut meruba. And what does it say? Tani matchil umonim miyad. That you have to count from there forward. If you have to count from there forward, it sounds like that the yemei chalutin, or the yemei chaluto, do not count towards your Nizirut. When do you start counting? You start counting after you are Tahor from the Torah. That's against Rav Kutza's position. Kutza's position is that when you have Nizirut Merubah, right, then you can, what? You can count that towards your Nizirut. And here we have our Mishnah, which is the case of Nizir Merubah, and yet we don't let you count it towards your Nizirut. So Gemara says, "Hu motivla v'hu meforikla." He asked the question and he answered the question. Nizirut bat 50 yom. Talking about a nizirut that was 50 days long. The yotim esrin v'jelav beitzaras. So you say you already kept 10 days. Then he got tzaras. V'galei achteratov adu yotim patin yomin. I'm sorry, he did 20 days. Then he got tzaras, and then he needs to complete the 30 days afterwards. Right? Ah, it's like he'll say ar, because then he has 30 days left. So the Mishnah, our Mishnah is a unique case of a up to 50 days. Now, really, truthfully, you can come up with other permutations. The Gemara is just using a permutation of 50. But the case in the Mishnah is when you only have 30 days left. You have whatever Nizirut Merubah you took, you only have 30 days remaining in your Nizirut when you become a Mitzorah. So when you only have 30 days left in your Nizirut when you become a Mitzorah, by definition, the Yimei Chalutin, Yimei Chaluto cannot count towards Nizirut, because you're going to need Gidol Seir of 30 days afterwards. And that's the case in our Mishnah. What is the case in our Mishnah? Motchum Menu Miyad is when you only have 30 days left in your Nizirut. That's when the case where, quote unquote, when Rav Kutza says Nazir Mu'etet, Nazir Mu'etet doesn't mean a 30-day Nizirut, it means a Nizirut that only has 30 days left in it. It only has 30 days left in it, then what? Then you can't count your days of Mitzorah towards your Nizirut, because you're going to need the 30 days afterwards for your hair to grow out. Whereas, if you have more than 30 days left afterwards, then you can count your days of Mitzorah towards your Nizirut, until the point that there are only 30 days left, meaning that you can count as many days as you want in your Mitzorah state, as long as you leave at the end 30 days. So for instance, if you had 100-day Nizirut, on the 15th day or the 20th day, called 20th day, he became a Mitzorah. He was a Mitzorah for 30 days, and then he comes back. So how many days does he have to count? So according to the Rav Kutza's explanation, you have to count 50 days now. You had 20 days before you started, you have 30 days of Mitzorah, and now you have 50 days left. 50 is greater than 30, so you have Gidol Seir, and therefore you just count off. Whereas, if you had 100 days of Nizirut, and you had counted 70 days already, and then you became a Mitzorah for 30 days, then we don't allow you to count your days of Mitzorah, because they are going to interfere with your ability to have the 30 days of Gidol Seir afterwards. And therefore, you need to leave at least 30 days at the end.
Is there really any concept that the days of the days of the even confirmed that they really forfeit the that the days are not counted? It's all based on technicalities. Like you're leaving yourself with 30 days.
Days are not right. Exactly. They all count, but they just functionally, if you count to them, you can't. Doesn't help you because you need another 30 days for your Gidol Seir, right? So that's the Gemara's conclusion, and it goes with Rav Kutza's position here that you can, that days of Chalutim can count towards your
Nizirut. I mean, we know that, but once you know the concept that you can count it, then they really have to teach us that if you're in a case of Nizirut, Beretas, or whatever, all that stuff we know on ourselves from what we learned before.
Right.
They would have to rewrite it.
Yeah, what's the Kiddush Rebbe? Of course, you need 30 days of Erev, so...
No, that's the Kiddush of Rav Kutza. If I read the Mishnah without Rav Kutza, I would have said that you make Chalutim never count towards your Nizirut. Rav Kutza comes and differentiates and says it only doesn't count when you have less than 30 days left.
No, it's not sufficient in Mishnah. The Mishnah's content... It's one Mishnah, which has said that if you have a Nizirut, a group of long Nizirut, then it does count because those days are counted. We would know that if you don't have 30 from 30, you know, it's like the, if you wasn't so...
Sure. What's the question of that?
So you're saying the Kiddush Mishnah is that it is...
It's countable.
The scenarios when the days are countable.
Right.
So that's the Mishnah you're talking about that. Right. I mean, why is the Mishnah talking about a case...
Oh, this unusual case where we only have...
No, not an unusual case. It's a case that we can figure out ourselves. It's not the Kiddush. We know that already. Right.
It's,
right.
It's like the Lashon Mishnah is focused on the part of it that's
not the Kiddush.
Right. Okay. That's, but you would... alright, I see what you're saying. Although the truth is that Rav Kutza learned is leading what happened in that deal. I mean, that's the deal that he makes out of it. But that's a good point. I mean, why did the Mishnah focus on the case which was not really the Kiddush, but rather on the lack of Kiddush? Although the truth is that because of that, you can infer the other half. Which
right. It's like the Klal.
Right. So that's
the answer. There's one time that had a shita that you don't need 30 days, you only need 7 days.
That's where it was there, right? So you only need 7 days, but that might only be Yom Malos. It's only if it happens on the 30th day after, on the Yom HaLos. On the Yom HaLos, we only need 7 days for Gidul Seyar, not the 30 days. But everybody agrees after Mitzorah that you're going to need a full Gidul Seyar, which is 30 days. All right. Now, the Gemara challenges. This Gemara here, it reads simply, but is the subject of this massive Tosfos here all the way through to the next level. It says, it's just explaining the case. We'll go through it. Since we have, I figure we have time, we'll get into this because it'll give us a head start to tomorrow. Now the Gemara challenge is, Meitiv Rami Bar Chama. Right? So now, Rami Bar Chama challenges this position of Rav Fista from a, right, a Mishnah. Nosir Shaya Tamei B'Safek. Umuchlat B'Safek. So this guy had a string of bad luck. It was a bad day for him. He took it out of the Nizirut. On the first day of his Nizirut, he became a Safek B'Tumah. And he became Sofek with a Mitzorah Mukhlat on the first day of his Nizirut. Then, Ochel B'Kodshim Akar Shishim Yom. He can only eat Kodshim after 60 days. B'Shota Yainu B'Tamah L'Meitim Akar Me'av Esrim Yom. And now he can only become drink wine and become a Tamah L'Meitim after 120 days. Alright, now, what is the case here? What's going on here? So let's do in a case where he was Badei Tameh and Badei Mitzorah. Right, what would he do? If he was Badei Mitzorah and Badei Tameh, what would he do here? He would first then deal with his, he could deal with simultaneously, strictly with his Tumah and his Tzaraat. He would be Magdan himself on his Shlishi and Shvi. He'd get Paraduma sprinkled on himself on the third and seventh day. He'd also, when he becomes Tahor from his Tzaraat, he would cut his hair, shave his head, wait the 7 days, right, and then cut his hair again, and then he'd be Tahor, the Gamri, and then he could begin his count, begin his, let's quote unquote, his Nizirut count. Now, so therefore, if he was able to get out of his, say on the day that he became Tameh, he was able to, you know, fix up whatever he needed and become Tahor, 7 days later, he can then restore, he brings his 7 days, after 7 days, he brings his Karbanot for being a Nazir Tameh, and then he'd begin his Nizirut Tahara, which would be for 30 days. Right? So if it was a case of Badai, he'd only have to keep basically 37 days, or amount of time it would take him to come to Hor from his Tzaraat and his Tumah, plus he'd have to have his 30 days of his regular Nizirut. Problem here is that he's only a Safek Tumah and Safek Mitzorah. Why does that make a difference? The big difference is that if you are a Mitzorah Mukhlat, you can shave your head even though you're a Nazir. That's what we learned, right? Kano and Rosho teach us that even in the face of Nizirut, you take priority and you take care of your Tzaraat and you shave your head. So that will override your Nizirut. Yes. But that is not true if you are a Safek Mitzorah. Yes. If you're a Safek Mitzorah, we don't know, we can't allow you to cut your hair because maybe you are not a Mitzorah and you are a Nazir, and you'll be violating your Nizirut. So now, let's go back to the case here. He has to wait 30 days. His first 30 days, at the end of his first, he has to wait under his first 30 days. Why? Well, number one, first of all, he can take care of his tumah right away. He can go sprinkle on his third day, the seventh day. After 7 days, he's no longer a Tameh. Right, but that's just goes with too much mace. But
what about
he needs his karbanot, right? He needs his karbanot, tumah, and tiglachas at tumah. Right, that
only something coming.
Right, so let's go stage by stage. He reaches the end of his first 30 days. Right, there are how many possibilities of what he is right now? He either be a nazir tahor, and this is the end of his nazirut. Right, so you have to bring his karbanot for being a nazir tahor. The other possibility is that he is a nazir tameh and not a mitzorah, and then for now he's going to bring his karbanot for being a nazir tameh and begin his nazir b'tahara. Or the third possibility is that he's a mitzorah. If he's a mitzorah, then what? When he cuts his hair now, he is just cutting his hair for the first time, meaning that after your tahor from being mitzorah, you need to shave your head, and then wait an additional 7 days. An additional 7 days to cut your hair again, right? So being cut your hair again for mitzorah. So then this might be your tahara ha mitzorah. Right? This might be
the 7 days for the
No, 7 days for any mitzorah. After he becomes tahor, he brings on the first day. When he becomes tahor, he brings the birds, and the seventh day again. So he brings birds, and then he lets the birds go free. So after 30 days, what does this guy do? After the first 30 days, he takes a haircut.
And if the case is that he's He could be a mitzvah who's also tame.
Right. Okay. We're not up to. That'll get you to the next 30 days. Right. But
let's assume he's a mitzvah who's not tame.
Let's assume that he's at the end of 30 days.
Let's assume he's not going to Nazir.
Right. He's a Nazir Tor. I'm saying we just went through all the cases. At the end of 30 days.
Let's assume that he's a Nazir Tor.
Now, what does he do at the end of 30 days? He comes and cuts his hair. So there's a possibility he's a Nazir Tor, and he's cutting his hair, and he's done with his nazir.
He should bring karbanot.
Oh, so you have to bring karbanot. But which karbanot can you bring this day? So we tell you to bring an olah. Now you bring an olah because everybody agrees, right, that an olah can be brought bin the davar, can be brought as a voluntary offering, so it can be matnet on the, it can be matnet on the olah, that the olah is either good for my
tara,
or possibility is that it's also good for my nizirut bit too much, and that I need an olah for either of those. So those are the two possibilities that I'm bringing an olah for, that it could be an olah
free.
Well, no, because the Mitzvah doesn't bring in a lot then. Mitzvah only brings his carbonate after the 7 days on the 8th day, right? So the Mitzvah doesn't need it.
It's either for, it gives his Olah either for
his Nazir Torah or his Nazir Bitum'ah. Yeah. Alright, now we also have to do his Tara process for a Mitzvah. The Tara process of Mitzvah is that you take two birds, and you shack one of the birds, you put it into the water, and then you sprinkle that water on you, and you let the other bird go free. That he can do, because it's outside the Mikdash, that's not kosher. He does that also in case he's now ending his becoming Tahor for the first time from his Tzaraas. He's doing his first shaving for his Tzaraas. So he also does that. In addition, he's going to bring, right, a Chatasa'uf, Misafek. Right?
Okay.
You can bring a Chatas of Misafek. One, either because he's a Nazir, if he's a Nazir Bitum'ah, then he can use a, he needs a Chatas of, that's what he needs. He brings two birds, one Lola, one the Chatzat. Right? And then he, also what he can do is, here they make a suggestion that he be not pure all his Nichasav. He's an Ani, right? Well, we'll get up to it. And then he can bring, wait, this is already in the second case, you know, we don't need that yet. Alright, so then, in his first case, he's bringing a Olah, Behema from Safek, Nazir Tor, right? And he also brings the Olah for the, Olah for the either the Tahora or the Chatat, and a Chatas Oaf that comes from Safek, because maybe he is a Nazir Bitumah. So what does that do for you? That makes it that when you're cutting your hair here, you are cutting your hair al damim, of some sort of blood that was sprinkled. So the Olah will qualify for making the blood for a Nazir Tahor. The Chatas Misafek you bring because you're allowed to bring a Chatas Oaf Misafek, and therefore that'll take care of your Tiglakas Atuma. And then for Mitzorah, all you need to do is shave and do your bird sending. So you do the bird sending and you're done. Now after this, what's his status?
He would have to shave again after 7 days.
Oh, so that's a problem. Now what is he? If he was a Nazir Tahor, everything's gone.
He's finished.
If he's a Nazir Tamei, he's also, in a sense, he's finished his Tiglachas Atumah, and now he can begin his Nazir Torah, but he should be allowed to enter the Mikdash at this point in time. Because, even if you're Tamei Mace, you can enter the Mikdash. So meaning that, from those two perspectives, he's done. Now, but, from the side of Mitzorah, he's not done. Why? Because he needs to, after 7 days, to shave again. He needs another haircut. So therefore, he's still what's called Mechusarei Kapara, with the Gavei Mitzorah. And it's Mechusarei Kapara, with Gavei Mitzorah, he can't go into the Mikdash. So therefore, he's still restricted from going to the Mikdash. Now he comes, after 7 days, he says, you know what, I want to cut my hair for the end, in case I'm a Mitzorah. What do we say to him? No chance. Why? Maybe you were a Tamei, and not a Mitzorah, and now you're doing your Nazir B'Tahara. You can't cut your hair. So he now must wait an additional 30 days. So at the end of those 30 days, he comes again to cut his hair. Now, what are the possibilities of what he is now? He could either be a Nazir Tahor, meaning that his first case was he was a Tamei, and they did that in the first 30 days, and now he's a Nazir Tahor, he's completing his Nazirut. One possibility. Second possibility is what? That he is a Mitzorah, and he's finishing up his 7 days, the second cutting of his being a Mitzorah, now he's required to bring his Karbanos for a Mitzorah. What he can't be, which we know is that it can't be his Tiglachas Atumah. That it can't be because, right, Manashah, if he was Tamei and not a Mitzorah, he already took care of that. If he's a Mitzorah and he's Tamei, then he's got to take care of his Mitzorah first, and then he's got to deal with his Tiglachas, right, Tiglachas Atumah. He can't do them simultaneously, he's got to take care of them separately. So now, what do we bring? What carbonate does he bring? So he comes up and he brings up, shows up with his olah again, because maybe he is a nazir tahor. So he brings his olah. He brings a chata sha'of misafek, and again, why did he bring a chata sha'of misafek? Because maybe he is a mitzorah. If he's a mitzorah, he has to bring a chatas. It's a carbon olah biore. It's a carbon that moves up and down with your economic status. So as the Gemara says, be makir your nechassim, therefore you can bring this chata sha'of misafek instead of bringing it as a chata behema, which you couldn't bring misafek. So bring a chatas of for Yimitzora, and then according to, there's an asham that's required to be brought, an asham that's brought for a Mitzora, the asham Mitzora, right? And there's also an asham Nazir, so that depends on whether you bring a asham Misafek, meaning that there's Rabbi Shimon believes that a person can bring an asham like a Shlamim and be Matna on it.
He was a Nazir and a Tameh. When did he have to give a Tumah first?
Yeah. If he was just Nazir and Tameh, then he just
took... Nazir and Tameh.
Yeah, take care of Nitzorah first, and then his Tumah after that.
So Nitzorah took care of...
Up now, up to the 60th day, he's now done with his...
The Nitzorah.
Right.
You think it's a second haircut?
Yeah, it's a second cutting for his Nitzorah.
Right. And now he can take care of his Tumah.
Right, so now he brings his Karbanot. So the Karbanot are either for his Nazir Tahor, because he was Tamei, and he took care of that the first 30 days, and now he's doing his Nazir B'Tara. That the Allah takes care of. Then he brings a Chatas Ok Misafek, and possibly an Asham Misafek, the Asham Mitzar Misafek. If you can bring the Asham Mitzar Misafek, then he brings that, because that's Ma'akev, him becoming Tahor from Mitzar. According to Chumim, so you can't bring Misafek, they think it's not Ma'akev, that they bring the Dhamma. So you bring an Ola and a Chatas Ok Misafek, and possibly an Asham Misafek. So that takes care of the two possibilities of what the second 30 days is. Either it's Nazir B'Tara, and now you're done. Or, this is your second cutting for Mitzorah. The second cutting of Mitzorah, you need to bring your Karbanot for being a Mitzorah. That's the Katas and the Asham here. Okay, so now, he cuts his hair, and he's done. Can he eat Kodshim now? Can he enter the Mikdash and eat Kodshim? Now the answer is Mimarashach, yes. Because either he's finished with his Nizirut and he's done totally, either or if he was Tamei, he's already done with his Tegachas Tumah and Tahor. And if he was a Mitzorah, which is the only thing that was really Me'akev his being able to being going into the Mikdash, he's now completed his status in Mitzorah and he's part of his Karbanot Mitzorah. So that's what the Mishnah says, that after 60 days, he can go into the Mikdash and eat Kodshim. Can he drink wine? And can he be Tamei the Meitim? The answer is no. Why? Because maybe he was possibly... Maybe he was possibly a Mitzorah. He just ended, no, not even Tamei. Maybe he was a Mitzorah, and he didn't count his Nazirut yet. He just completed his Mitzorah. Right.
So he was a Mitzorah in the first 30 days.
He never counted. He became a Mitzorah on the first day of his Nazirut, and now he needs to count his 30 day Nazirut.
Mitzorah needs two haircuts.
Right.
Until then, you can start Nazir.
Right, you can't start Nazir until you complete your Taras and Mitzvah.
You can't start Nazir because he doesn't have to.
That's right.
Oh, very good. This is all convoluted to get to that problem. All right, but that's exactly the question of the Gemara. We just have to go through what the Mishnah is, and then we'll get to that question exactly. So now, you have 60 days. Right? And now on the next 30 days, maybe he is now doing his Nazir B'Tahara. He's doing his Nazir B'Tahara, right? Then what? Then he can't drink wine, he can't be in the time of the Meitim. So now we wait another 30 days, he cuts his hair. Now, can he drink wine or can he be in the time of the Meitim? The answer is no, because maybe he was both in Mitzorah and Tamei. If he's both in Mitzorah and Tamei, that means at the end of 60 days he finishes his Tarax. The end of the 30 days, he's just finishes the Tiglachas Atuma, and now he needs to do the 30 days, he needs to do his Nazir B'Tahara. That means at the end of 90 days, you bring again an Olah, right? And a Chatat Of Misafek, and then you cut your hair again, which will either be for your Tiglachas Atara or your Tiglachas Atuma. And then at the 120th day, then you bring your, again, an Olah.
And why is that? Because if he was in Mitzorah, he was Tamei and Mitzorah.
He did 60 days, where first 60 days covered his Tzaras.
Yeah.
To do the two cuttings, right? And then he did it up to the 90th day, we took care of the Tiglachas Atuma. And then...
Why did he, because of stuffing.
For Tiglachas Atuma, he could have just waited 7 days and cut his hair, but he might be a Nazir Tahor. If he's a Nazir Tahor, he's got to wait another 30 days. And then he can only drink wine and become the Meitim after 120 days. So this in of itself would not be a question on Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda said if you have a 30-day Nazirut, that the Mitzorah doesn't count towards it. This is a Nazir Mu'abdet, and it's not a question on Rav Chisda's position. The next line in the Mishnah is the question. That's only Nazir Mu'abdet. Right? If you have a nazirut that's 1 year, that you took a nazirut as a nidr zis for 1 year, then you have to do this whole process. Ocho b'kashim lachar shtei shanim. So you know, mitam l'meitim lachar bash shanim. You have to wait 2 years and 4 years. I mean, that's the equivalent of 60 days and 120 days, because your nazirut is 1 year, not 30 days. Ah, according to Rav Chisda, if you believe, should be enough, 3 years and 30 days should be enough, and not 4 years.
Why?
Why 3 years and 30 days? And not, so this is because, what happens, you do, the first year, the first 2 years are basically going to go towards your tzaras. Right? It's a given. The first 2 years are the first two cuttings for the tzaras, because maybe you are a mitzora. And you can't cut within the first year or within the second year, because maybe you are a nazir, tahor. Right? So therefore, the first 2 years automatically go towards the tzaras. Now, after you finish your tzaras, right now, what do you do? What do you need to do? You need 30 days of gidul se'ar. You need 30 days of gidul se'ar to take care of your tiglachas ha'tuma. You should then, at that point, be able to shave for your tiglachas ha'tuma. Right? Mimonofshach, after 30 days, what is it? What's the possibility after 30 days? One possibility is that you're a nazir tahor. And if your days of chalutin counted towards your being a nazir mitzahara, right, then all you needed is 30 days for gidul se'ar and you're done. Or,
if you have 10 minutes.
What?
If you
would some, you could have just cut after 7 and just waited. You could do it.
You
could
cut because you had to wait. 1 year and 30 days.
1 year, and you need 1 year and 30. Right, you don't need 30 days to get people say, "Are you cut, shave, and you're done with your tuglachas ha'tuma?" Then, right. So you might have said, after 2 years, once you've dealt with the mitzora issue, the only two issues that you face are tuglachas ha'tuma and tuglachas ha'tara. So those tuglachas ha'tuma and tuglachas ha'tara both could be accomplished after 30 days. After 30 days. After 30 days, you can take care. Either because you are a Nazir Tahor. If you're a Nazir Tahor, all the days of your Mitzvah are counted. So you already completed your year, and now you just need Kidul Seyar, 30 days, and I'm done with my thrust. Or the possibility is what? I'm Betumah. I'm a Nazir Betum'ah. I need to wait for 30 days to cut my hair to tiglachas ha'tuma. Tuma is Oker Soter. It's Soter. Now I just need one more year to complete my Nazir's Betara. That's how you get through the 3 years and 30 days, right? The extra year afterwards is the
2 years Mitzora, 1 year 30 for the...
For the, to care of the Tuma and Tara part of it. But, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says 4 years. 4 years implies that what? That your days as a Mitzora don't count towards you. Because if they counted, all you would need was 30 days after the 2 years. If they don't count, then after you complete the 2 years of Mitzora, you need another year to your nearest, either because you're Taro or because you're a Tuma, depending on what the next state is of you. But you can't cut your hair until after that year.
Don't be pressed to take it to 2 months.
Yeah.
So, but how do you take it to 2 months? Take it after 2 years?
After 1 year. Well, I mean, depending, where are you now? You have to tell
you
where
you're. You need 2 years. So after 1 year, you first declare us?
No, you don't. The 2 haircuts is only for the shower. Right, not for 2 months.
Well, also,
So here we have a case, in this case in our Mishnah, basically, is against Rav Chisda. Because if it was the Nazir Melechet, it's not a question of Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda agrees with Nazir Melechet. It's a case when the Bar says, Bamidbar Mamurim, Nazir Melechet. By Nazir Merubah, it's 4 years and not, what? 3 years and 30 days. The fact that it's not 3 years and 30 days shows you that in Nazir Merubah, we don't count the days of Mitzorah towards your Nazir's Be'ara. That's a challenge to the position of Rav Chisda. So we'll stop here. It's a very interesting Mishnah in general. Now I will point out that what we didn't deal with, and that's in Tosfos a little bit, is which day, after how many days do you cut your hair? Do you cut your hair after 30 days or after 31 days? It means you bring your karbanot after 30 days or after 31 days. We know in general that a nazir cuts his hair on the 30th day and then brings his karbanot on the 31st day. Right? That's the general halacha, whether it's barpado or bravado. Right? They both agree that you cut after 31st days. One, because it's exerz chachamim, or both exerz chachamim, but you could cut on the 30th day. So Tosfos here deals with the fact that maybe in these instances by mitzvah we let you go after the doraisa. to let you follow the Daraisa and cut your hair and bring your karbanot on the 30th day.
You're going to be doing more time anyway.
Right. Well, you were doing more time, but here they were mukimit al Daraisa to get you through the Taraz aspect of it, and that's why they did that in order to in the back half allow you then in the back half you'd have to do 31 days, but in the first set of two sets of 30, maybe you can do it on the 30th day. Then those will have to deal with why is it after 60 days? Because it's really on the 60th day, then not after 60 days.
Right. You
can't do both ways. Right. So I'm not going to get it. I just want you to be aware that this deals with that issue.